Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, and today we're in the middle of a series simply titled Time, and it is related to you as a ministry leader and how you spend your time. This specific podcast, we're going to look at time and ministry structures. Here's what I'd like to look at. How do you as a ministry leader structure your time? Remember this truth. How you spend your time will determine your fruitfulness. When Jesus gave us the parable of the talents, a central truth from the parable is that we are required to assess and invest what He has given to us. Our investments related to our ministry leadership will require time spent, here it goes, obviously, in assessing and investing. So the truth remains clear. How you and I spend our time will determine the fruitfulness of our call. I know that this sounds really trite, but the reality is that it is easy to give ourselves to expectations and routines that fail to move us forward in ministry leadership. Busyness does not equate to fruitfulness. Stewardship, however, does. We must steward our call by assessing and investing into what God is aligning us with in the present moment. I remember many years ago when I was considering moving forward with a master's degree, I counseled with the president of the school, and I shared with him that I was a busy pastor. I was leading three Sunday morning services, the Wednesday night setting, and dealing with all of the problems, staffing issues, facilities, you know, many things. Whether you're in a very small church or a fast-growing church or a larger church, I guarantee you that your plate is full. You are busy. His advice, it really helped me. He said, Mike, he said, your plate's always going to be full, and it's your responsibility to decide what is on that plate. So I got it. I was busy. But if God was calling me to deepen myself in the master's degree that school was offering, I would have to make room on my plate for what God was prioritizing. Let me say it again. Busyness does not equate with fruitfulness. Doing the right things is what brings fruitfulness. That's the essence of stewardship. Now listen to Jesus's emphasis here, John 12, 24 through 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one who loves his life loses it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Four major truths that are pretty clear from these few verses. Our call to ministry will not automatically make us fruitful. Secondarily, our call to ministry must be contextualized. The seed must fall to the ground. Three, the ground of our ministry is found in the context of people, place, purpose, and priorities. And fourthly, we must specifically discern how we invest into, now, obviously, this is where it's going, the people that God has made us responsible for, the place we are to serve, the purposes that He is asking us to focus on, and the priorities we are called to live by right now. Let me share with you a foundational flaw that I had for many years as a ministry leader. I felt that if I had a call from God and a clear purpose given to me by the revelation of the Spirit, something God had placed deeply inside of me, I was to pursue that call with God as my assistant. Now, I would have never said that, but that is functionally how I live. So in essence, I wanted a revelation from God about what He wanted, and for Him to serve as my assistant, giving me ideas and pointers along the way as I pursued what He wanted. I functionally wanted God to be my assistant. Tim Keller's story in the beginning part of his Christian walk has really helped me. It was Barbara Boyd that was giving a talk to students, and Tim Keller was there. It was 1971. The woman's name was Barbara Boyd. And she said something along this line. If somebody says to me, "Come on in, Barbara, but stay out, Boyd," it's a bit of a problem because I can't separate them. I'm Barbara Boyd. And she told Tim Keller and the other students there in college that it's the same way with Jesus. The Bible tells us that He is Lord and Savior. You can't say, "Jesus, come into my life, forgive my sins, answer my prayers, do this for me, but don't be the absolute master of my life." Jesus, Savior, come in, but Lord, stay out. He can't do that. He is Lord and Savior. And then she gave this illustration. I love it. She said, if the distance between the earth and the sun, which is 92 million miles, was the thickness of a piece of paper, then the diameter of our galaxy would be a stack of papers 310 miles high. Our galaxy is less than a speck of dust in the part of the universe that we see. And that part of the universe is just a speck of dust compared to the whole universe. And she said, if Jesus, the Son of God, who holds all of this together with the power of His Word, is this the kind of person you want to ask into your life to be your personal assistant? And then she asked the students to go outside and take an hour and just think about what that means to you. He said it was a major life-changing point in his life. He didn't need Jesus as an assistant. He needed Jesus to be Lord and Savior. Now, I know that I'm applying this to ministry leaders, but I believe it is easy for us to fall into busyness and routine without a deep reflection and assessment of how we are spending our time relative to the priorities of the Spirit in the moment. So I want to walk us through that, and I'd encourage you to write these questions down and to do what Barbara Boyd asked those InterVarsity students to do. Spend time alone with God and allow Him to bring clarity, because the four questions that I'm about to share with you are really foundational as to whether or not you and I will be fruitful in ministry, because it makes us assess and then invest as a steward into what God is doing right now. And I'm telling you, you know this really well. Busyness won't get it. And just having a purpose and then asking God to help us as we think about Him and get His ideas along, all of that kind of thing, where He's not really leading consequentially, well, that's a mistake. So how do we become really intentional about aligning our life as a seed that is planted in specific soil with the people, the place, the purposes, and the priorities of what God is doing? Those are the things I'd like to just chat about, just very briefly, but write the questions down as we go through, and then take some time to reflect deeply upon them. First question, who needs you now? This is the people part of ministry. Remember, now we're using the alliteration helps that I've tied to John 12:24. Truly I say to you, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, in your ministry, who are the people in the five concentric circles of your influence? And that's going to be found in your community, in the crowd that shows up on Sunday, in the congregation. These are people that are highly committed to the church. In the committed, these are not only your committed people, but also your workers. at the church. And then the core, that's the core people you work with and really are foundational to the vision and direction of the church. Now, it's Rick Warren who popularized those years ago, and I just love them. They help me so much. It helps me think about the people that I'm called to serve, and I need to identify them. Who are they in the community? Who are they in the people that just show up? Everybody. It's the crowd. Who are the congregation? Who comprises the committed of the church? Who are in the core of the church? Community, crowd, congregation, committed, and core. How you spend in your time will be reflected in with those people. And thinking definitively about that is really helpful. Second question is this. Where will you spend your time? This is the place part of ministry. I found in the early years of my ministry, after I became full-time as a pastor, and I was a pioneer pastor, I found that I needed an office at the church and I needed an office in the home to help me be most productive. Now, it's more than that on place. I'm just using that as an illustration in my own life. At church, I wanted to be accessible. At home, I wanted to be able to seclude myself in my study. So I was really guarding against looking like I was isolated from people at the church. I wanted to have more of an open door policy, be very available. I did take appointments. I did close the door. I did things like that in meetings, obviously. But I wanted to be very accessible to our key leaders and to the congregation, and I wanted to have a presence there. But I knew that I needed many hours through the week spent in seclusion in the privacy of my home office. It helped me to define the place part of ministry. Third question, what is God prioritizing for my ministry now? This is the purposes part of ministry. To be productive, I need to know what the Father is doing so that I can join Him in it. Now, I'm clearly getting that from John 5 when Jesus said, I don't do anything unless it is clear to me that the Father has gone ahead of me in prioritizing that. I have found that God will give me themes for specific seasons. As a pastor, I knew that there were seasons that He was telling me, hey, Sunday school is a major purpose for me to embrace right now, or forming the leadership team, that's a major purpose, or Wednesday night. It's not that I wouldn't participate in all of those, but I needed to have a sense of what is prioritized in the multiple purposes that were before me. When I understood the Father's purposes in the moment, I could reshift how I spent my time and honor that. Let me give you the fourth question. What are the disciplines I am to embrace right now? This is the priorities part of ministry. You may be acquainted with the seasons teaching that I developed many years ago. In springtime, when God is doing something new in our lives, in my life, we need to spend more time allowing Him to seed new thoughts and ideas within us about what He wants to bring about in the future. If it's summertime, when God has already given a clear focus, we need to spend time working hard, plan on long days with little reward, because God has given us a purpose, and many times in summertime, we're building a foundation for what God will be doing ongoingly into the future. In harvest time, when God is abundantly blessing people through our ministry efforts, where do we need to spend our time? Stewarding the harvest. We need to think about how to connect those people into more than the crusade or whatever it is that is allowing the harvest in the moment. If it's a marriage series, should I think about a marriage small group to align them with so that I can protect and steward the harvest? You see the point. In harvest time, I need to give time to the stewarding of the fruit. In wintertime, when God is working on me, wintertime is the only season that's not really about the seed. It's about the soil, and I'm the soil. And in wintertime, I need to spend more time just secluded with Him. This is the season that God is not focusing me doing ministry, but on me being His child. I've got to give time to that. I need to know the season. And that is a part of my priorities. And that really helps me. Let me move now to some application focus for us. Out of these four questions, who needs you now? Where will you spend your time? What is God prioritizing for your ministry now? What are the disciplines that you need to embrace right now in your daily life? There must be a priority of regularly assessing and investing into what God is doing. It's a popular story. I assume it is true. It's from World War II. Erwin Lutzer retells the story in his book, When a Nation Forgets God. Let me quote it. A man wrote, "I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. I considered myself a Christian. We heard stories of what was happening to the Jews, but we tried to distance ourselves from it because what could anyone do to stop it? A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning we could hear the whistle in the distance and the wheels coming over the tracks. We became disturbed when we heard the cries coming from the train as it passed by. We realized that it was carrying Jews like cattle in the cars. Week after week, the whistle would blow. We dreaded to hear the sound of those wheels because we knew that we would hear the cries of the Jews en route to a death camp. Their screams tormented us. We knew the time the train was coming, and when we heard the whistle blow, we began singing hymns. By the time the train came past our church, we were singing at the top of our voices. If we heard the screams, we sang more loudly, and soon we heard them no more. Years have passed, this man said, and no one talks about it anymore, because I still hear the train whistle in my sleep. God, forgive me. Forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians and did nothing to intervene." Now, I know that's an illustration from history, but doesn't it hold relevance to you and I in ministry now? What you do is really important, whether you're serving in a small community. I'm just telling you, you and your church and your ministry is a really big deal. And there are people that God wants you to connect with. There is a place that He wants you to fulfill that ministry at. There are priorities that He's given you to live by. There are disciplines that He is asking you to incorporate into your life. So the four questions, again, as I put them, pointed them out during our study, and it's the application of a corn of wheat falling into the ground. You are called, but the contextualization of your call will require assessment and investment as a steward. So here they are again. Who needs you now? This is the people part of ministry. Two, where will you spend your time? This is the place part of ministry. Three, what is God prioritizing for your ministry now? This is the purposes part of ministry. And lastly, what are the disciplines that you are being asked by the Lord to embrace right now? This is the priorities part of ministry. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. Take a look at resources that we have there, two major resources very specifically. One is we have a curriculum for you to mentor your ministry leaders. And then secondarily, we have an ability to partner with you for you to start a church-based training center right there at your church in partnership with us, and you'll love what you'll find. We've outlined 9 courses. We have a partnership with a major seminary. Actually, a number of these classes will be able to be applied toward in credit hours, 6 free credit hours towards a specific degree at the seminary if you choose to move beyond this level of training at the church, and that's available to you and to your people. Check it all out at pauldotimothy.com. We'd love to hear from you. It's at pauldotimothy.com.